It's June the 1st, and tonight's shiur, in addition to our overall sponsor, which is the Lewis's, tonight Mrs. Chaya Schwartz is also sponsoring the shiur. It is Le'ilui Nishmas, her father, Rav Shlomo ben Yisrael, correct? Whose yard site is the 2nd of Sivan, which is still today. Yes. Okay. And we are in Yirmiyahu Perek Nun, chapter 50. Hadavar asher diber Hashem el Bavel, el Eretz Kastim, b'yad Yirmiyahu HaNavi, the thing that Hashem spoke regarding Bavel, the land of the Kastim, in the hand of Yirmiyahu the Navi. Hagidu v'agoyim hashmiu usunes, make it known in the tell the nations and make it known and raise a banner. Hashmiu al tichachenu, make it known and do not be afraid. Imru, say, nil kedah bavel, bavel is captured or will be captured. Hovish Baal, Baal is dried up. Baal was one of the avodah zaras, one of the idolatries of Bavel. Chas merodach. And Merodach is broken. Merodach was another one of the Avodah Zarahs of Bavel. Hovishu Atzabeha, its idols have dried up. Chatu Giluleha, its, another word for idols, have been broken down. The Bavel was, at this time, the superpower of the world. The only superpower of the world. Bavel controlled the entire known world. That means the Nebuchadnezzar was known, was recognized as the supreme king over the entire known world. All of mankind was afraid of him. And speaking negatively about Bavel was treasonous and would be punished by all kinds of things, most likely death, but most likely it would be pain and suffering as well. And it was not considered to be a safe thing to speak negatively about Bavel. In addition to it not being safe, it was also hard to conceive that at some point Bavel would no longer be as powerful as it was. Bavel being so powerful, so incredibly powerful, the having such control over the world, it was inconceivable that they would one later on be conquered and destroyed. So Yirmiyahu is saying, don't be afraid. This is what is going to happen to Bavel. Bavel will eventually be destroyed. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Ki Allah aleha goy mitzafon, for a nation from the north will rise up against it. Hu yashis es arza lishama, it'll make her land desolate. No one will dwell there. May Adam v'ad behema nadu halachu, from man to beast, they will all have moved and gone. What nation from the north? This is referring to Paras, Umadai, the Persians and the Medes. On a map, you'll look at the map, you would see that Persia is really further east of Bavel. But the truth is that the Torah refers to Bavel as north of Eretz Yisrael. We would call that direction northeast. But the Torah refers to it as Tzafon, as north, and the Persians a little bit further north than that, northeast than that. But they would eventually destroy Bavel. Now, it's not going to be for another 52 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Is that correct? 1 minute, please. Not 52 years, 1 second. 52 years. 52 years from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash until Bavel is going to be overrun. It could be, yeah. It could be it's 51 years. I have to get that exactly right, but I believe it's 52 years. But it's over 50 years later. So this nevuah does not happen until then. But Yirmiyahu is telling them now that as Bavel is in such control and is destroying the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless Bavel will end up getting it back. They will be punished. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Vayomim Mahim in those days, Vayisayin at that time, Numa Hashem says, Hashem Yavo v'nei Yisrael Hema v'nei Yehuda Yachdav. The Jews and the Bnei Yehuda will come together as one. Haloch uvacho yelechu. They will go and they will go crying, meaning crying to do teshuva. Ves Hashem elokeihem yivakeshu. They will seek out Hashem, their God. Because at that time, what's going to happen is that Koresh, the king of the Persians, is going to allow the Jews to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and the work will get started. The foundation will be laid, and then it will get stopped. But it will start at that time. So the Jews will have done a certain measure of tshuva at that point. Tzion yishalu, they will seek Tzion, derech heina fneihem, they will turn their faces to there, to Tzion. Bo v'nilvu el Hashem, they will say that they should come and gather to Hashem. Bris olam lo sishachach, to make a covenant forever that will not be forgotten. And that's going to be to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Son ovdos, hayu ami, my nation were like wayward sheep. Ro'ehem hisum, their shepherds led them astray, their kings led them astray. Harim shovivum, the mountains, or to the mountains, they have been diverted. Mehar el giva halachu, from mountain to hill they have gone. Shachachu rivtsam, they have forgotten where they would crouch down and be able to be safe. Kol motzeihem achalum, all those who found them consumed them. Vitzareihem amru lo nesham, and those who caused them pain said, we will not be punished for this. We can get away with it. We can hurt them and nothing will happen to them, to us. Tachas ha-shechotu la-Hashem nevei tzedek, because they sinned to Hashem, the righteous place to dwell. U-mikveh avoseihem Hashem, and that which their ancestors relied on, that is Hashem. They sinned, and that's why they were punished. Nudu mitoch Bavel, move away from Bavel. Ume'eretz kastim tseyu, and go out from the land of the kastim. Vihu ki'atudim lifnei tzon, you should be like the atudim, the male sheep that go in front of the sheep to lead them, so you should be the first ones out. Leave Bavel, because Bavel is going to be destroyed. Ki hine anochi meir umale al Bavel, because I am going to awaken and bring up against Bavel kehal goyim gedoli meretz tzafon, a large gathering of nations from the north, from the land of the north. Va'aruchula, and they will arrange against Bavel. Misham tilached, from there it will be captured. Chutzav kigibor maskil, its streets will be like a strong warrior. I'm sorry, Kigubar Mashkil, like a strong warrior will kill people out. Will kill people. Lo Yashuvei Kam, the warrior will not return empty-handed. Those warriors will come in and they will capture and kill. V'haisa chastim l'shalol, the chastim will be as booty, spoils of war. Kol shololeha yisbo, all those who take booty from it will be satiated, Num Hashem says Hashem. So this is all the eventual destruction of Bavel. Ki sismechu ki sa'alzu shosei nachalasi. When you have been happy and you have rejoiced, those who have trampled my Nachala, my inheritance, meaning the Jews, that you were happy about that. Kisa fusu ke'egla dasha, when ke'egla dasha, when you became full, like a calf that is on the threshing floor because it's able to eat as it threshes. Visits halu kabirim, and you rejoiced like the strong ones. All that's what you did when you conquered the Jewish people. Because of all of that, therefore you will be destroyed. Bosha imchem maod, your mother, should be very embarrassed, shamed. Chafra yolad techem, she who bore you should again be embarrassed, should be ashamed. Hine acharis goyim, behold the future of the nations, midbar tzia va'arava, will be a desolate wilderness. There'll be nothing there. The Gemara tells us, and this is ruled in Shulchan Aruch, that when one passes by a graveyard, then one is supposed to recite various psukim. So one passes a Jewish graveyard, so there are psukim to say, if you go to a Jewish graveyard and you have not been there in 30 days, then there is a passage to recite, which often at a funeral the rabbi there will say it on behalf of those who have not been there in 30 days. If one passes the graveyard of non-Jews, one is supposed to recite this pasuk. This is the pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12 in Yirmiyahu, of Bosha Imchem Maod Chafra Yolad Techem, is the pasuk that is supposed to be said when one passes the graveyard of non-Jews. This is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Most people are not familiar with this pasuk, but it is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch as the pasuk to say, and it is brought in the Gemara and Maseches Brachos, that one recites this pasuk upon passing seeing the graveyard of non-Jews. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. Miketzef Hashem lo sei shev. Because of the anger of Hashem, you, Bava, will not be settled. Vaisa shemama kula. And it will be completely desolate. Kol over al Bavel, yishom v'yishrok al kol makoseha. All who pass by Bavel will gasp and whistle about all of its, all of the afflictions that happened to it. Irchu al Bavel saviv kol darche kashas. Arrange against Bavel all around all those who bend the bow, meaning those who are able to shoot arrows. Yidu eleha. You should strike against it. Al tachmelu el chetz. Do not have mercy on the arrow. In other words, shoot as many arrows as you want. Ki la Hashem chata, for it sinned to Hashem. So again, this is all being said in the face of this incredibly powerful nation. And it's dangerous to speak this way, but Yirmiyahu, of course, is unafraid. Hariyo aleha saviv, cry out against it all around. Nasna yada, it will give its hand or reach out for help, meaning it will reach out to be helped, but no one's going to help it. Naflu ash yoseha, its foundations have fallen. Ner suchomo seha, its walls have been destroyed. Ki nikmas Hashem hi nakmu ba, for the revenge of Hashem is taking vengeance against it. Kasher asasa asu la, as it did, so is being done to it. This is one of the sources for Mida keneged mida, measure for measure. Here it is explicit. Just as Bavel did, so is being done to Bavel. Just as Bavel destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, so too Bavel is now getting paid back. Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16. Kirsu zorea mi Bavel. Cut down those that sow the ground from Bavel. That's going to be the kings. The sofes magol be'es katsir, and the one who holds the sickle in the time of the harvest. So they're all going to be cut down. Mipnei cherev hayona, in the face of this destroying sword. Ish alamo yifnu, v'ish la'artso yonusu, each man will turn to his own nation, each man will run away to his own land. Because there were a lot of foreigners in Bavel who were with Bavel, helping Bavel, either because they wanted to ingratiate themselves to Bavel, or because they were pressed into service. Either way, they're going to run away now. Pasuk Yizayin, verse 17. Sef zura Nigda Vayishaver. Sefezura, that's us. That is the scattered sheep. Nigda Vayishaver. So, excuse me? Did I skip? Oh, I skipped. I'm sorry. Well, my mistake. Hold on 1 minute. There we go. Thank you. Sefezura, a scattered sheep Yisrael. Thank you. Are the Jews? That would be correct. Arayos Hidichu. So they were pushed around by lions, or they were captured by lions. Harishon Acholo Melech Ashur. First, they were consumed by the king of Ashur. Ashur is the nation under Sanherev that took the 10 tribes into exile. So they were the first ones who consumed the Jews. Vizeah Achron Itzmo, and this second one was even more powerful. Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel. That would be Nebuchadnezzar. So they're the ones who attacked the scattered sheep, which is the Jewish people. Lachen klamar Hashem tzvakos. Therefore, so says Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, Hini foketa melech bavel vel arzo. I am now going to visit punishment upon the king of Bavel and his land. Kasher pakanti amelech Ashur, just as I visited punishment upon the king of Ashur. Sancherev was destroyed. Now he was destroyed miraculously in the days of Chizkiyahu, the king, where the Malach Gavriel came and destroyed the entire army of Ashur in one fell swoop. So here, Bavel was successful in destroying the Beis HaMikdash, but now Bavel is going to be destroyed as well. Vishovavti es Yisrael el Navehu, and I will return the Jews to their dwelling place. Vira'aha Carmel v'habashan, and the pasture of the Carmel and the Bashan, two different places. Uvehar Ephraim v'hagilad tispa nafsho, and the mountain of Ephraim and Gilad, his soul will be satiated, meaning of the Jews. So, let me read one more pasuk. This next pasuk Chav, verse 20, is a famous pasuk which you may be familiar with because we say it in Slichos and also on Yom Kippur. Bayamim ahem, in those days, uvoisahi, and at that time, nu Hashem says Hashem, yivukash savon Yisrael veinenu. They will seek out the sin of the Jews, and it will not be there. It will be gone. Veschatos Yehuda, and the sins of Yehuda, velo sin sa'ana, they will not be found. Ki aslach la'asher ashir, because I will forgive those who I allow to remain. So the Jews will be forgiven in those days, and Nebuchadnezzar and the Goyim, the Bavel will be destroyed. The Jews are referred to as a sefezura, as a scattered sheep. The reference to a sheep, the Medrash tells us, is a reference, as we have spoken about before, to the mazel, to the constellation of the sheep, which is the month of Nisan. And as we had an extensive class about that, regarding Nisan and the Jewish people being the first month of Nisan, of Seh, of the sheep. The Medrash here, though, references the mitzvah of Pidyon Peter Chamor. One of the mitzvahs that was given to the Jewish people connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim, to getting out of Egypt, is the mitzvah of Bechor, which makes sense because of Makas Bechoros. So there's a mitzvah of Bechor. Now the mitzvah of Bechor manifests itself in three different ways. One, of course, is that if any Jewish family has a firstborn male son, and neither parent is a Kohen or a Levi, and that son is born with no previous miscarriage, and the son is born naturally, not through a C-section, then there is a mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. And after 30 days, then the father gives money to the Kohen to redeem his firstborn son. That's one application of the mitzvah of Bechor. Another application of the mitzvah of Bechor is if anybody owns sheep or cattle, so if there is a firstborn male, sheep, goat, or calf, then that firstborn, if it is a gift to the Kohen, it goes to the Kohen. If it is unblemished, then the Kohen brings it as a karban. He can eat it, but it's brought as a karban. If it is blemished, as a mum, then the Kohen eats it with a blemish, without using it as a karban, but just slaughters it and eats it. But again, it's a gift to the Kohen. That's a second manifestation. But there's a third manifestation, and that is Pidyon Peter Chamor. And that is that if a Jew has a donkey and has a firstborn male donkey, then that donkey needs to be exchanged for a sheep. The donkey is exchanged for a sheep, and in order to permit the donkey, and that sheep is given to the Kohen. That is the mitzvah of Pidyon Peter Chamor. The Torah says if a Jew does not do that, then the donkey is killed. Because the Jew is not giving the correct gift to the Kohen, so the Jew loses his property, which is this donkey. Now, this mitzvah of Pidyon Peter Chamor does not apply to any other animal. It only applies to a donkey. It does not apply to any other animal. Now, a donkey is not a kosher animal. Sheep, goats, calves, those are the kosher animals. They can be brought as a karban. Donkeys are not kosher. And it is exchanged for a sheep. So it is curious that this mitzvah applies to only donkeys. And the question is why? Now, the truth is that donkeys are featured prominently in the whole story of the Jews in Egypt. They're featured when the brothers come to Egypt and they are treated harshly by the viceroy, who they don't realize is Yosef, and they are concerned for their own livelihood and for their donkeys. The reason why they are concerned for their donkeys is because they needed the donkeys in order to bring the food back to Israel. Even if they would be released, but if they were released without food, then they're going to go back without food to Eretz Yisrael. That's as good as a death sentence because there was no food. The donkeys were critical. Those were the long-distance truckers. Those were the donkeys. And if you didn't have them, you could not transport food. So it was critical to have those donkeys. When we left Egypt as well, we had many, many, many donkeys laden with all of the spoils that we took from Egypt and from the Yam Suf. So the donkeys played a prominent role there too because they enriched us. Hashem didn't just take us out of Mitzrayim to live in poverty, he took us out with great wealth. With great wealth. We could not have gone out with great wealth without some way of transporting that great wealth. And therefore we needed the moving trucks. And that would be the donkeys. So they were featured prominently in Yitzias Mitzrayim. They weren't a side point. They were a critical part of the whole story of Mitzrayim. But more than that, the Gemara tells us that the Egyptians are compared to donkeys, as it says that they are compared to donkeys. That's the Egyptians are we had a whole class about comparing the Egyptians to a snake. And we talked about also a calf, but they are also compared to chamorim, to donkeys. So the Medrash here says that the Jews being compared to a sheep is also referencing this mitzvah, that we exchange our firstborn donkey for a sheep. Just as the Egyptians were pushed aside, they had been the world power, they were completely decimated and destroyed, and Hashem says to Paro, you think you're the Bechor? No, the Jews are the Bechor, and we were the sheep replacing the donkey, the Egyptians, as center stage. And that mitzvah of Pidyon Peter Chamor is reflected in the fact that we are considered to be a sheep. So that the Medrash mentions in several places over here on this Pasuk Yud Zayin of 17. Yes? Yes?
Did you say that, I must have this on double. Did you say that they would exchange the donkey for a sheep and then the sheep would be given to the Kohen?
Correct. Someone is asking over here, where did the sheep come from? Your own sheep. You took a donkey, you exchanged it for your own sheep, and then you gave the sheep to the Kohen. That would be the mitzvah of Pidyon Peter Chamor, of redeeming the donkey. Pasuk Chof Aleph, verse 21. By the way, I just want to point out to you that these mitzvahs of firstborn apply today as well. The problem is, you can't bring a carbon today. So, but if a person is a farmer and they own sheep or cattle, goats, or donkeys, and a firstborn male is born, they have to deal with it. You have to deal with what to do with that and ask a Shiloh how to handle that. We try to get out of it in order not to have this issue of these animals and not being able to deal with them. The way they handle it with the sheep and the goats and the cattle is if there is a female sheep, goat, or cow that is expecting for the first time, so they sell it, or they sell it partially to a non-Jew. So that way it is not fully owned by a Jew, and therefore this mitzvah would not apply. The reason they do that is because if the firstborn is born and it has no blemish, you can't do anything with it because it's a carbon, and you have to let it just graze. And the problem is that these animals become aggressive over time. They're male, and if you just let them graze without doing anything with them, you can't work them, you can't do anything with them, then they eventually become aggressive. So it's a liability. So they try to avoid it today. I don't know how donkeys are handled today. I'm not sure how that works. Pasuk Chafal, verse 21. Al haaretz mirasayim alei aleha. On the land that you, Bavel, that you rebelled against me, so rise up against it. Vel yoshve pekod, and on those who dwell in pekod. Pekod is a place in Bavel. Charov v'hacharem achareyam nu mashem, destroy and again make desolate after them, says Hashem. V'aseh kechol asher tzivisicha, and do all that I have commanded you. Now this is referring, who's he speaking to? He's referring to Koresh. He's referring to the king of the Persians. What is going to happen, which we learned when we did the book of Daniel, what is going to happen is that Bavel will be, after the death of Nebuchadnezzar, he will be succeeded by his son Evil-Merodach, who will then be succeeded by his son Belshazzar. Belshazzar will be the one to use the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash, thinking that the 70 years are up, the 70-year prediction that that's when the Jews would be redeemed. He miscounts, but he still uses the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash. That's when you have the writing on the wall. And what Belshazzar is doing is he's celebrating because he has a major battle between his army, the army of Bavel, and the Persians and the Medes, who are who are beginning to become powerful and are trying to challenge Bavel as the major power of the world. They have a showdown. Bavel wins. That night, Balshatza makes a big party. During that party, he uses the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash. The writing, the hand writes on the wall, which says that Bavel will be destroyed. That night, the Persians and Medes regroup, mount a counterattack, execute Balshatzar, and conquer Bavel. That's what happens then. And they become the power of the world, and all of what is being said here in Yirmiyahu takes place then, with Bavel being completely destroyed. The Persians and Medes, in their initial attack against Bavel, are led by Daryavesh. Daryavesh is a Mede. He's from Madai. And he's the king of this alliance that destroys Bavel. His son-in-law is a Persian, whose name is Koresh. Daryavesh is killed within the year, and Koresh takes over as king. And then Koresh authorizes the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what happens historically after this point. So here, this is being directed to Koresh that he should continue the destruction of Bavel. But it took a while to absolutely decimate and destroy Bavel, and that's what he's being told to do. So, yes.
Is this Nebuah supposed to make the Jews feel better? I mean, here they just had the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and it's many years in the future. So how do they react?
So the question is this supposed to make the Jews feel better? I imagine it is meant to make it clear that nothing is going, they're not going to get away with it eventually. Even though it does not make the Jews' life any better right now, but to be clear that this is part of Hashem's plan, that it happened because of our sins, but there's no inherent power in Bavel. Bavel is going to be destroyed. That's what I imagine it is. Chaf Beis 22. Kol milchama ba'aretz, the sound of war is in the land, v'shever gadol, and great shever. Shever means to break things, breaking. Eich nigda vayishaver, how it was cut down and broken. Patish kol ha'aretz, the hammer of the whole land, meaning Bavel was this powerful hammer which is now going to be cut down and broken. Eich haisa lishama Bavel bagoyim, how much Bavel will be desolate amongst the nations. How incredible it's going to be to see that. Yokosh tiglach v'gam nilkat Bavel, I have laid a trap for you and you have been captured, Bavel. Va'at lo yadat, you didn't know about it. Nimtseis v'gam nispast, you were found and you were captured. Kiv Hashem hisgaris, because you started up with Hashem. Pasach Hashem es otsaro, Hashem opened up his storehouse. Va'yotzei es klei zamo, he took out his utensils of anger. Ki melacha hi la'Hashem elokim tzvakos, but it's cast him because Hashem has melacha, has work to do in the land of the castim. The Gemara says from here that sometimes you find that Puranius, that calamity, is called malacha, is called work. Chavav 26. Ba'ula miketz pishu ma'avuseha. Come to her, come to Bavel from the edge of its country. Pishu ma'avuseha, open its gates. Saluha, you should trample it. Kemo aremim, like a pile of grain, like in a threshing floor. V'acharimua, and destroy it. Al tila sheris, there should be no remnant left from Bavel. Chirvu kol pareha, yerdu latavach. All of its cows should be destroyed. They should go down to slaughter. That would be its leadership. Hai aleim, woe to them, ki vayomam, for their day has come, ace pekudasam, the time of their being visited upon, remembered with their punishment. Kol nasimu fleitim eretz Bavel, the sound of those running and escaping from the land of Bavel, lahagid b'tzion, to tell in Zion, es nikmas Hashem elokeinu, the revenge of Hashem our God, nikmas hecholo, the revenge against Bavel for having destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, even though we sinned and deserved to lose the Beis HaMikdash, but Bavel didn't have to volunteer to do it. And because they did it, they are going to be destroyed. Hashmiu el Bavel. make known to Bavel. Rabim kol dorche keshes, all you many, those who bend the bow, those archers, chanu aleha saviv, encamp around it, all around it. Al yihi la pleita, there should be no escape for it. Shalmu la kifa'ala, pay her back the way she behaved. Kehol asher asesa, asula, everything she did, do to her. Ki el Hashem zada, because they were purposefully against Hashem, el Kadosh Yisrael, against the Kadosh Yisrael, the sanctified one of the Jews. Lachin yiplu vachura barachov osel, therefore her young men will fall dead in her streets. V'chol anshe milchamta yidamu, and all of the men of her war, meaning all of her soldiers, will be silent. Vayomahu on the day Numa Hashem says Hashem. Hineni elecha zadon Numa Hashem elokim tzvakos. Behold, I'm against you, you purposeful sinner, says Hashem. Ki ba yomcha, for your day has come, es pekadeticha, the day that I have visited upon you. V'chashal zadon v'nafal, and the zadon, another, the same word again, the purposeful sinner will stumble and fall, v'ein lo mekim, and no one will lift it up. V'hitzati esh be'arav, I will light a fire in its cities, v'achla kol svivosav, and it will consume all around it. Kol ma'ar Hashem tzvakos, so says Hashem, ashukim b'nei Yisrael v'nei Yehuda yachtav, the Jews, the Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yehuda, are oppressed together. And all those who took them captive have held on to them. Have refused to let them go. They took them captive and wouldn't let them go. Well, that's not going to last. Goalam chazak. Their Redeemer is strong. No one is as strong as Hashem. Hashem Tzvakos Shema. Hashem Tzvakos is His name. Riv Yariv es Rivam. He will certainly fight their fight. Laman Hirgia es Haaretz, in order to bring peace, quiet to the land. Vihirgiz Liyoshve Vavel, and he will cause trembling to those who dwell in Bavel. Now we have a series of psukim about the sword. And these are all going to be curses against Bavel. But there's one very, very important one, which after I read all of them, I'll come back to it, which is used in the Gemara in a very specific way. Cherev el kastim nu Hashem. The sword should go against the kastim, says Hashem. Vel yoshvei Bavel, those who dwell in Bavel. Vel sareha vel chachamel, to its leaders and its wise men. Cherev el habadim minoalu. The sword to go against the badim. The badim would be those who are sorcerers, and they should be destroyed. They should be punished. Cherev el gibareha, the sword against its strong ones. Vachatu, they'll be broken down. Cherev el susav vel richbo, the sword against its horses and its chariots. Vel kol ha'erev asher besocha, and all of those who are mixed up within it, meaning those from other nations who have come to help it, they should also be destroyed. V'hayulin Hashim, they'll be as weak as women. The men will be as weak as women. Cherev el otzroseha, a sword against its treasuries. Uvuzazu, they will be taken as spoils. They will be plundered. Chorev el meimeha v'yaveishu. Now this word doesn't mean sword, this means dried out. Its waters will be dried out and it will dry up. Ki eretz pesilim hi, for it is a land of idols or idolatry. Uva'imim yisolalu, and they take pride in their idolatry. That's what kind of land it is, and therefore it will all be destroyed. The Gemara tells us that the Torah is meant to be learned as a group, not individually. It's, of course, if a person is by themselves, they should study Torah. But as a general rule, Torah is not meant to be studied by a bunch of individuals, each person studying Torah by themselves. Torah is meant to be studied together in a group, with a chavrusa, with a chabura, which means a group of people, so that the Torah can be discussed and different perspectives can be presented, and the truth can emerge. The Gemara tells us that a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, who sits and learns by himself, is not good, and in the end, it does not have a good ending. That in the end, the person will not end up with the truth. And the Gemara quotes this pasuk, pasuk Lamed Vav, verse 36. Cherev el habadim, a sword against those who are badim. Bad can mean individual or by oneself. A sword against those who are by themselves, vino alu, and they will be destroyed. They will, the study of Torah is meant to be in a group. And this is why you find that you go into a public library and the rule is silence. Everything is very quiet because people are studying, people are reading. It's meant to be a quiet place where a person can concentrate. You walk into a Beis Medrash, and if it is a vibrant Beis Medrash, then the sound is deafening. It's loud. It's you can't hear yourself. It's powerful. And that is the way Torah is supposed to be studied. It is not meant to be studied in a quiet setting where everybody is just concentrating on their own thing without talking to each other. That does not mean that one cannot study something on their own, or it doesn't also, and also does not mean that a person can't, when sometimes then you need a chance to concentrate, to go find a quiet corner and think things through. Of course that's necessary at times, but as a rule, the way Torah is meant to be studied is in a group. And that is why the Chavrusa system is the preferred method of studying Torah, and it has been in place for many, many, many years, is the Chavrusa system, where a person studies Torah with somebody else, and they are bouncing the ideas off each other. That's what is meant to be. That is the system that is that the Gemara mandates as the appropriate way for studying Torah. This happens to be the pasuk that is quoted. Now, why does the pasuk come from here? And that is because the same theme of the sheep that we had before, the Jews are called one sheep. That although we are comprised of many people, but we are supposed to be focused as one. We're supposed to behave as one. That is a theme that is repeated often. Everybody says we need to have shalom, we need to have achdus, we need to have avas Yisrael. Everybody talks about that all the time, as if that was a simple goal to achieve, which it is not. The only way that goal can be achieved is if we Jews have the same focus and the same goal. As long as we Jews have different goals in life and a different focus from each other, then we will act not as one, but as disparate groups. That goal and that focus is Torah. And we've talked about this many times before, that the national focus of the Jewish people, the national goal of the Jewish people, is supposed to be the scholarship of Torah. It's supposed to be to promote and create an environment in which Torah scholars can emerge. That's what every single person among the Jewish people is meant to be working on, whether it is those who are actually doing the studying or those who are providing the environment in which the studying can be done. Men, women, it doesn't make a difference. The entire focus of the Jewish people is meant to be one in which the Torah scholarship rises to the top. And that communal focus is what can create achdus, what can create a unity, and we can be as one. All of the disunity that we have, and we are unfortunately rife with disunity, is because we do not share that goal. And the here is where it's being brought out. Torah is not meant to be studied by individuals, it's meant to be studied in a group. And that group of studying Torah causes us as a people to be one. If we are not a group studying Torah, then we are not as one, we are disparate individuals and groups. Pasuk Lamed Tes, verse 39. Lachain, therefore, because the Bavel is a place of idolatry, Yeshvu Tziem Es Iim, these are different types of animals. These various wild animals will dwell in Bavel. V'yashvu v'benos yana, and these benos yana, which are wild birds of prey, will also be in Bavel. V'losein shevod la'netzach, it will not be settled again forever. V'losishkon ad dor v'ador, it will not be lived in for all generations. The area of Bavel would remain desolate forever, will not be resettled. K'mapichas Elokim es Sedom es Amora ves Shcheinah nu Hashem, like Hashem overturned Sodom and Amora and its neighbors, says Hashem, lo yeshiv sham ish, no man will live there, v'lo yagur ba ben Adam, no man will sojourn there. Hine am bami tzafon, behold the nation is coming from the north. V'goy gadol, and a large nation, u'melachim rabim, and many kings, ye'oru me'arkes ha'aretz, will be awakened from the edge of the land. Keshes v'chidon yachaziku, they will hold the bow, that's a bow and arrow, v'chidon, which is a spear, if I remember correctly. Oh no, I'm sorry, a shield. They will hold. Achzari hema, they will be cruel against Bavel. V'lo yirachemu, they will not have mercy. Kolam kayam yeme, their voice will rise up as like the ocean. V'asusim yirkavu, they will ride on horses. Aruch ki ish la milchama alayech bas Bavel, arranged like a man of war against you, Bavel. Shama melech Bavel is shimam, the king of Bavel will hear their sound. V'rafu yadav, his hands will become weak. Tzara hechazikasu, he will be grabbed by fear. Chil kayoleda, trembling like a woman in labor. Hine ka'arye yale migaon hayardin elnevei eson, like a lion comes up from the area of the Jordan River to a settled area, just as that would happen. Ki argia arid same me'aleha, because I'll bring this attack upon them. Umivachur eleha efkod, and who will be chosen to go make this attack? Meaning, I'm going to bring up all those who are going to attack against Bavel. Ki mi chamoni umi yo ideni, because who is like me and who will try to fight me? Umi zeroe asher yamo lefanei, what kind of shepherd could stand against me? Lachin shimu atzas Hashem asher yo'atz el Bavel, therefore hear the plan of Hashem that he has planned against Bavel. Umachshevosav asher chashav el eretz kastim, and he, with the thoughts that he has against the land of the kastim. Im lo yischavum tzirei atzon, if it doesn't happen, that the youngest ones of the sheep will trample them. Imo yashim alehem naveh, if they don't completely destroy their living space. We mentioned last time that Tzirei Hatzon, the young ones of the sheep, is referring to Paras, to the Persians, being the youngest son of Yefes. Mikol nispis avavel, from the sound of the capture of Bavel, nira ashah haaretz, the land made a huge noise. Uza'aka ba'goyim nishma, and the cries are heard amongst the nations. We are not done with the scathing prophecies against Bavel. The next chapter, which is even longer than this one, will still be about the destruction of Bavel. Next week we would cover that. So the main point that we have to remember is that Yirmiyahu is saying all of this in the face of this incredibly powerful nation that does not seem to have any weaknesses whatsoever. And Yirmiyahu is saying that you will see they will fall, and they're going to fall hard. And when they fall, they're going to be completely destroyed, and they even though the Beis HaMikdash needed to be destroyed, but the fact that they did it means they're going to be destroyed as well. And it's going to be midah keneged midah, measure for measure. So Mitzvah Hashem, next week we're going to attempt to do Perek Nun Aleph 51. I don't know if we'll be able to finish the whole Perek in one sitting. That's going to be our attempt. And that will be more about Bavel, Mitzvah Hashem, next week.
Where's Bavel?
Where is Bavel? So Bavel is present-day Iraq, but it's not the whole Iraq. Meaning, Iraq is made up with a lot of desert. So the actual living space, the country, certainly in the time of Tanakh, was along the two rivers, the Tigris and Euphrates rivers.
That particular nation of Bavel was totally destroyed like this.
So they were destroyed, and the area that they settled in evidently is no longer being settled. I don't know exactly on the map where that is. But apparently that area is not settled.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good Yom Tov.